To start the second side of our special tape, we have a recording made by a listener for a change. Mr. George Bull recently presented a check to the Mardler, and this is an extract from the interesting things he said on behalf of the people who raised the money. Thank you, George, for the kind things you had to say about the Mardler, and we take this opportunity of giving our thanks to all of the groups and the individuals who have made our job possible in the last year.
Edgar and Irene, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the readers of the Mardler Talking newspaper and myself, as I am one of them, I wish to thank you most sincerely, Edgar and Irene, and all those people who have supported your dances, for the magnificent sum of £330 which you have raised for the Mardler Fund. This is the second generous donation which you have made to this charity, and this is the second time that I have had the privilege of accepting your gift on its behalf. A few weeks ago, one of the sound recording engineers of the Mardler ran through the various pieces of equipment used in the production of this newspaper, and it made me realize just how much money is required to launch such a service and keep it running. It is for this reason that gifts of this kind are most welcome and much appreciated. The Mardler is now 1 year old and is a thriving publication with a circulation of around 140 readers. Since its birth, I have learned more of what is going on in North Walsham, Aylsham, Cromer, Sheringham and Holt than I ever knew before. The compact cassette is a wonderful medium for disseminating news to the visually handicapped, especially if they cannot read Braille or are living alone, and listening to the various voices of the news readers makes it all the more enjoyable. It is for this reason that I hope that the Mardler will enjoy many more birthdays, and with the sort of help that Edgar and Irene have given it, I am sure it will have many more birthdays. I now have pleasure in handing this check to Mrs. June Adams, who is the chairman of the Mardler. Thank you.
This Christmas card in sound tells the story of The Babes in the Wood. Not the pantomime version, but the original ballad, the true story, first published nearly 400 years ago in 1595. Your Christmas card reads, The Children in the Wood, or The Norfolk Gentleman's Last Will and Testament.
Now ponder well, you parents dear, these words which I shall write. A doleful story you shall hear, in time brought forth to light. A gentleman of good account in Norfolk dwelt of late, who did in honour far surmount most men of his estate.
Sore sick he was, and like to die. No help his life could save.
His wife by him as sick did lie, and both possessed one grave.
No love between these two was lost. Each was to other kind.
In love they lived.
In love they died.
And left two babes behind.
The one a fine and pretty boy, not passing 3 years old.
The other a girl more young than he, and framed in beauty's mould.
The father left his little son, as plainly doth appear, when he to perfect age should come, £300 a year.
And to his little daughter Jane, £500 in gold, to be paid down on marriage day, which might not be controlled.
But if the children chance to die ere they to age should come, their uncle should possess their wealth, for so the will did run.
Now, brother,
said the dying man,
look to my children, dear. Be good unto my boy and girl. No friends else have they here. To God and you I recommend my children dear this day. But little while, be sure, we have within this world to stay. You must be father and mother both, and uncle all in one. God knows what will become of them when I am dead and gone.
With that bespoke their mother dear.
Oh, brother kind,
quoth she,
you are the man must bring our babes to wealth or misery, and if you keep them carefully, then God will you reward. But if you otherwise should deal, God will your deed regard.
With lips as cold as any stone, they kissed their children small.
God bless you both,
my children dear.
With that the tears did fall. These speeches then their brother spake to his sick couple there.
The keeping of your little ones, sweet sister, do not fear. God never prosper me nor mine, nor aught else that I have, if I do wrong your children near, when you are laid in grave. The parents being dead and gone, the children home he takes, and brings them straight into his house, where much of them he makes. He had not kept these pretty babes a twelvemonth and a day, but for their wealth he did devise to make them both away. He bargained with two ruffians strong, which were of furious mood, that they should take those children young and slay them in a wood. He told his wife an artful tale. He would the children send to be brought up in fair London, one that was his friend.
Away then went those pretty babes, rejoicing at that time.
Rejoicing with a merry mind, they should a cock-horse ride.
They prate and prattle pleasantly as they rode on their way.
To those that should their butchers be and work their lives' decay.
To that the pretty speech they had made murder's heart relent, and they that undertook the deed full sore did near repent.
Yet one of them, more hard of heart, did vow to do his charge, because the wretch that hired him had paid him very large.
The other won't agree thereto.
So here they fought a strife, with one another did they fight about the children's life.
And he that was of milder mood did slay the other there, within an unfrequented wood.
The babes did quake for fear.
He took the children by the hand, tears standing in their eye, and bade them straightway follow him, and look, they did not cry. And 2 miles he led them on, where they for food complain. Stay here, quoth he, I'll bring you bread when I come back again.
These pretty babes, with hand in hand, went wandering up and down,
and never more could see the man approaching from the town.
Their pretty lips with blackberries were all besmeared and dyed.
And when they saw the darksome night, he sat down and cried.
Thus wandered these poor innocents, till death did end their grief.
In one another's arms they died, or wanting due relief.
No burial this pretty pair of any man receives, till Robin Redbreast piously did cover them with leaves.
And now the heavy wrath of God upon their uncle fell.
Yea, fearful fiends did haunt his house, his conscience felt an hell.
His barns were fired, his goods consumed, his lands were barren made.
His cattle died within the field, and nothing with him stayed.
And in a voyage to Portugal, two of his sons did die, and to conclude, himself was brought to want and misery. He pawned and mortgaged all his land ere 7 years came about.
And now at length this wicked act did by this means come out. The fellow that did take a hand these children for to kill was for a robber judged to die. Such was God's blessed will, who did confess the very truth as here hath been displayed.
Their uncle having died in jail, where he for debt was laid.
You that executors be made, and overseers eke, of children that be fatherless, and infants mild and meek, take you example by this thing, and yield to each his right, lest God with such like misery your wicked minds requite.
That was the original ballad of The Babes in the Wood, first published in 1595. A reminder at Christmas that 400 years later, there's still homeless people, and also that cruelty to children has been very much on our minds this year. And finally, this card reads, "A Happy Christmas to all Mardler listeners from Team A," and it's signed
by Ian Edwards,
Carol White,
Geoffrey Hodson,
Rachel Hodson,
and John Scott.
And in her absence, Jan Hart,
and Brian Hedge.
And not forgetting our backroom boys and girls.
Happy Christmas!
The Visit of Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you have found him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
We have been listening tonight for the readings of the Christmas story to schoolboy Dan Warren, and we do thank him very much for taking part and for making such a good contribution on his debut with the Mardler. And now, Here is just one final piece on your Christmas magazine by the other team, the remaining team, Team D.
Welcome to the Mardler Musical Christmas Card. We hope you enjoy this special tape, which is shared by all our teams. To begin with, may I introduce Nativity Play by Joyce Grenfell.
Hello, Mrs. Binton. I'm so glad you could get along to see a rehearsal of our Nativity Play. Can you squeeze in there? I'm afraid our chairs are a wee bitty wee, as they say north of the border. Now then, children, we're going to start our rehearsal. Where am I, Mary and Joseph? That's right, Shirlene. Take Dennis by the hand and come and sit nice and quietly on this bench in the middle. Don't drag him. He'll come if you leave him alone. Don't hit each other. Mary and Joseph were friends. Now, who are my wise men? You're a wise man, aren't you, Geoffrey? Oh, aren't you? What are you then? Oh, you're cackle, are you? And you're going to low. Splendid. Go over to Miss Bolting, will you, please? Miss Bolting? You are organizing the animals and the angels. He's one of yours. Now, my wise men here, please. Billy, Peter, and George. And George, wise men never do that. Now, my kings, please. Of course, Mrs. Binton, we know that by tradition the wise men and kings are one and the same, but we did want everyone in our nursery school nativity play to have a chance, so we've taken a few liberties, and I don't think anyone will mind. Now, kings, Sydney, Neville, Cliff, and Nicholas. Four kings, I'm afraid. We happen to have four lovely crowns, so it seemed a pity not to use them. Sydney, put your crown on straight, please, not over one eye. What have you got under your jersey? That's not the place for a hamster, is it? Put him straight back in his little pen, please. Sydney, which one have you got? General Amin or Harold Wilson? Well, who's got General Amin? Neville, put him back at once. Poor General Amin and Harold Wilson. It isn't very Christmassy for them under your jersey. Sydney, I think it serves you right if Harold Wilson bit you. And don't bite him back. Because he's smaller than you are. Are you bleeding? Then don't make such a fuss. Cliff, put your crown on, please. It's too big. Let's see. Ah, yes, it is. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Nice to see you again. Change with Nicholas. Nicholas, you can manage a big crown, can't you? You've got just the ears for it. I think if you pull your ears down a bit, that will hold it up. And lean back a bit. That's it. Stay like that, dear. Don't move. Wise men and kings, don't muddle yourselves with each other. Now then, shepherds. Jimmy, you are my first shepherd, and not a racing car. Yes, Caroline, you're a shepherd. No, dear, you can't wear your little Bo Peep costume, because there aren't any little girl shepherdesses in our play. They're all boy shepherds. And you're a girl being a boy shepherd. Yes, it is rotten, but we'll have to settle for it. I think if you're very good, perhaps you can wear a lovely grey beard. Wouldn't that be fun? George, what do wise men never do? Yes. Jimmy, do you remember what you see up in the sky? Something lovely, isn't it? No, not a baby. Try again. It's a lovely silver star, and you're going to put your hand up and point to it. And what are you going to say when you do that? No, Sydney, he isn't going to say, "Please, may I go to the bathroom?" Children, that isn't funny. It's a perfectly natural function, and we might as well get used to it. Come on, Jimmy. You're going to say, "Behold," aren't you? Yes, you are, dear. You said it yesterday. You'd rather say it tomorrow. Perhaps you're right. We have broken the back of the play, so you may as well get ready to go home. Hand in your crowns gently, please. No, Sydney, you can't wear your crown home on the bus. I hope it will be all right on the night. But you know, Mrs. Binton, I think perhaps next year we might make do with a Christmas carol.
A Merry Christmas to you from Barry
and Margaret Phillips,
Molly Cook,
May Orman,
Andy Coombe,
Roy Holden,
and Dan Findlater,
Jack
and June Chapman,
Nancy Olivia,
Linda Floor,
and Andrew Crick.
And from us all, a Merry Christmas!